All right, here we are today. We're with Jack Posobiec, and he's from OAN News, a great alternative to what's been going on in the news. If you need some good conservative angles, I've been following OAN daily now, especially Jack on Twitter. He was assaulted by Antifa this past weekend. It was pretty bad. I was kind of shocked and didn't get a lot of coverage. People sort of ignored this, but we're going to run that video today. And I'm going to have to run it kind of low because there's some profanity in it. But I'm glad to have Jack on. He's a conservative journalist. He's a Catholic. He was praying that St. Michael prayer. I want to talk about that and also talk about his Catholic faith. So, Jack, welcome.
Hey, Taylor, thanks so much for having me on. You know, this is such a time where, you know, I've had you on One American News, and we've talked political issues. We've done analysis of the Catholic vote and looking at 2020. But now it seems as though the conversation has shifted in our country and in our world. And I think that we're actually now getting into issues that are far deeper than just, the political horse trading of an election year. And I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about that.
Awesome. Before we get started, everybody, please like the video. Appreciate that. And then the most important thing you can do is share that video on Facebook. So please hit that share button. And if you're new, please subscribe. About to cross the 200,000 subscriber threshold. So thanks, everybody, who has subscribed and turned notifications on. All right. Well, Jack, I'd like to run this video of the assault. Now, kind of give us a background. What was going on? What's the name of the park you're in, the statues? And did you think you would get assaulted? I mean, you're kind of a well-known guy. You have face recognition. People know who you are. So kind of give us what was going on before we run this video.
Yeah, so I got to imagine, I definitely went into this thinking that the threat level would be low. I'm a prior Navy intelligence officer, someone who's, that looks at these types of events, has been involved in numerous also field reports in the past. And so you kind of go into things knowing where the threat level is going to be. And I think this ended up going beyond anyone's expectation, because this is something that took place in broad daylight in our nation's capital, in a public park that's actually on federal land. And so this was not a situation where all the cameras around, et cetera. So nobody had really thought that there was going to be any type of violence against a member of the media there. And so it was really shocking for that to happen. You know, usually you wouldn't expect to see something like that. And so I actually hadn't even originally planned to go to the event myself. And One American News was sending a team there. We had a camera, we had a reporter, and they were covering everything. But, you know, the place was only about 5 minutes down from where our studio is here in Washington. And as I was on my way home, I kind of made the audible call to say, you know what, I'm going to stop by, I'm going to check it out, I'm going to see how it's going, and then I'm going to head home to the wife and family.
Yep.
And I thought I would just do a lap, you know. And as I got there, I was actually kind of nuanced. And so I decided to stay for a little bit longer, because what you have there, that's Lincoln Park in Washington, D.C. And when people think of Lincoln in Washington, D.C., of course, they think of the Lincoln Memorial. But the Lincoln Memorial is actually not the original Lincoln Memorial of Washington, D.C. That was actually erected in 1922. This Lincoln Park, and what they have there is the Emancipation Memorial, was actually erected in 1876. So it predates it by nearly 50 years. This was the original Lincoln Memorial. And some of the proceeds that went to it were actually raised by freedmen, by ex-slaves that had been freed by Lincoln. The dedication of this statue was actually given by Frederick Douglass himself, wow, of course, strong abolitionist and someone who was an advisor to Lincoln during the war. And so it's dedicated just about 10, 11 years after Lincoln's assassination. And so what was very interesting to me was that you had members of the community there who were, in some cases, the descendants of those that had helped erect the statue in the first place. In another case, there was a guy by the name of Don Fulton who runs DC Black History Tours. And they were getting up, speaking out for the preservation of the statue. And there was sort of this push and pull with the crowd where, and it was definitely a generational, I would say, because you could see the folks that wanted to keep it were older and the folks that wanted to tear it down were younger. And the crowd was not really swayed that they should pull it down. After all, it's a statue of Abraham Lincoln. He's the great emancipator. He's a man responsible for saving the Republic and Civil War. Obviously, someone that's very renowned in our country. and is someone who is known and immortalized for his efforts. And so it was that interplay and that layered nuance that I thought was very interesting. And so I was attempting to cover both sides of this debate, because it's not just a debate about one statue in Washington, D.C. I think this is the crucial debate that we're having in America right now about our history and in our world that we're having about all history. And so what was incredible to me was that the younger folks there, the more aggressive ones, weren't letting the other ones speak. They were actually getting in front of their faces, cutting off their microphones, and essentially blocking them from having their voice heard. And so that's when I sort of went to the team. I said, hey, let's get closer so we can hear them, even though the microphone's not on. Maybe our microphone can pick it up, and at least we can broadcast that out. It was at that point that members of the DC Antifa group, who were also there, and what these guys do is they sort of piggyback on these broader movements and then interject their own toxicity and their poison into them, and they're accelerationists. That's what they always do. And so they target me. They see me. They know that I'm from a conservative news outlet. And even though I haven't said a word to them, I'm simply standing my ground on a series of steps that lead up to where this memorial is, the statue. And I'm filming. That's all I'm doing is filming. I'm not even saying anything. I'm not heckling. I'm not protesting. I'm not getting in anyone's face. I'm just trying to, you know, get both sides of the story so that I can cover it later. And that's when they start singling me out. They get in my face. They sort of start pushing me. And they actually tried to knock me down the steps onto the whole area. There is it's concrete pavement. So they were trying to knock me down onto the concrete. And you know, at that point, my training kind of kicked in, and I said, look, you know, just stand your ground. You know, I'm prime military, so, you know, maintain military bearing and discipline. Remember that 1,000-yard stare from boot camp. And the one thing that I did do is I turned to the guy from my team who was there, and I said, do me a favor and watch my six, because I don't want somebody coming up, you know, to the back of my head with, you know, we've seen in the past they've used bike locks, they've used blunt instruments and other implements. And, you know, I can't see what's going on behind me when there's a crowd around me. But at the same time, I wasn't going to do anything to escalate, whether verbally or non-verbally. So, you know, my response was, you know, just stand there like a statue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really important part, because you and I have been following all this on Twitter, and people are like, oh, if that was me, that guy would be knocked out. You know, and you have to realize that in these situations, you might be a black belt in everything. Jiu-jitsu, you might be a world champion boxer, but if there's 10 of them and one of you, you're going to lose every time, because you don't have eyes in the back of your head, and they're going to get you on the ground, they're going to start stomping you. This is why when we go to these events, we need to have a lot of people. If there's 100 of them, we need 150 Catholics out by the St. Louis Memorial, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and I would recommend that at this point, you know, seeing what happened to me and realizing that this thing has, it's gone up a level. Right? Yep. It is what it is, right? There's no point in debating it. There's no debate to be had about it. It's going up a level. So if you are going to go out, I would also be very clear, you know, bring Bibles, right? Bring instruments of peace, bring palm leaves, right? You know, bring palms out, you know, you have branches. You want to show that we are the side of peace and they are the aggressors. They're the ones who show up in black masks, right, in fatigues. They hide their faces. They dress up like urban ninjas or something. There's a reason that they want to hide their identities, and that's because they don't want to be identified later if they choose. And that shows intent. That shows they are intending to commit violent action, and that they are intending to prevent themselves from being identified because of that. It actually creates a more permissive environment for them to operate because of this concealment that they have. And so... and also at the same time, I understand the media cycle being the way that it is. You know, the minute I do anything, that's the clip that CNN is going to show. That's the clip that they're not going to show, oh, here's a guy pushing down Posobiec. It's going to be, oh, here's Posobiec defending himself, pushing, shoving, yelling, whatever it is. That's what they're going to see. So actually what was incredible is, after standing my ground for a while, it did get heated, and actually Don Folden, who's a gentleman that runs DC Black History Tours, he stepped down from that dais up there, steps down and says, "Come with me, son."
Yeah.
Come with me. And there's me and the elderly leader of DC Black History Tours walking off together, having a conversation with these angry Antifa anarchists behind us yelling. And it's really striking, the imagery and the optics. Also, and I've got to give a shout out and great thanks to a colleague of mine, Kevin Cork, he's not One American News, he's actually Fox News. And, you know, we were both there together, but he did have a security team and they were able to intervene and sort of pull me out to safety, got me over to the police that were waiting just beyond where we were.
Yeah. All right, we're going to run this clip. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, it looks like the person who pushes you down or pushes you back, is it a woman?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell because these Antifa guys are kind of small.
Yeah.
They eat a lot of soy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, soy versus protein. So you've got a situation where the first individual is just kind of pushing me with his chest, right, trying to get me to react and yelling every name under the sun at me, trying to provoke me, trying to get a reaction out of me, saying just horrible, vile things to me to try to provoke me and get my goat, right, I think is the phrase. And, you know, I wasn't going to respond to any of it. And believe me, I've been to boot camp. I've been called a lot worse. And then when she pushes me, he kind of gets an arm in to knock me off balance. And that's what actually – I do kind of go down the stairs for a bit, but I'm able to regain my balance before you know, I don't want to crack my head on the pavement there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed not only in this video but in several others. I think it was in Seattle. These cowardly Antifa people, they put their women out front because they know guys like you and me would never hit a woman. So they put these women out front and they talk trash. They start pushing the men, right? And then these cowardly soy boy Antifa guys and their masks stand behind the women. It's shameful.
Well, the whole thing's entirely shameful because you've got a situation where, you know, this is our nation's capital. This is a public park, and you've got this group that they have no interest in holding an actual debate about the merits of or demerits of Abraham Lincoln or any one individual. You know, show me a human without sin to cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. Show me without sin, and they're interested in overthrowing our way of life. Yeah. That's their goal. They're going to destabilize. They're going to say you're here. You're someone who voted for Donald Trump. You're a conservative. So in our twisted worldview, that means you are evil, you are a fascist, you are Adolf Hitler, you are the devil, you are everything under the sun.
Yep. All right, well, let's roll this clip. Now, I know this is a family show, and as you might imagine, folks, the Antifa people are throwing every profanity possible at Jack here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the volume kind of low. If you got children around, you might want to send them off. Go pray the rosary or something, but I'm going to keep the audio down so you can kind of hear the vibe going on there. But you're going to see everything start off here, and I'll run it a little while. Jack, you won't be able to see it, but you've seen it plenty. You know what we're going to see here. So here we go. Okay, so here he is. Here they put the woman pushes him down. I love how you take your shades off there, Jack. So this, I don't know if y'all could hear it, but there's this woman on a megaphone. She's like, "Oh my gee, an old black man defending a white supremacist." Any comment on that, Jack?
Well, I think maybe she should check her assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so you put your shades away. I like that. It must be good shades. You don't want those to get messed up.
Well, they're good, but also, you know, you've got to maintain situational awareness, and they were kind of blocking out some of the way.
Right.
So I really wanted to make sure. I mean, again, I was, you know, some people were throwing water and, you know, but there's also those guys who are trying to get an elbow in here and there, get a leg in there. And so that's, you know, that's really what I'm looking out for at that point.
Now the older black gentleman who's helping you out, tell us more about him.
Yeah, so that's Don Folden. He runs DC Black History Tours. I believe it's dcblacktours.com. Couldn't do more to give him a shout out. And he's actually someone that I've seen around town at other events in Washington, D.C. He kind of goes out with a, it's very clever. He's got a, you know, a sign up with his, with his website on it. So he'll, when he finds out there's an event going on, he'll go out and stand there so everybody sees the sign, and he gets some little viral marketing going on. It's a pretty good move. And I've always been very friendly with him. Follow each other on Twitter. You know, we go back and forth sometimes about different things that are going on. Sometimes agree, sometimes disagree, right? But just someone that I've sort of known locally here in town. And you know, even though it's not someone that I know well, and you know, I respect his business, definitely respect the hustle, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've always been very, very respectful to him and very friendly with him. And so I just felt very blessed by his actions at intervening at that moment that he did. I really did feel the hand of God come down at that moment, because it made it very hard for them to say the things that they were saying when you've got a guy here who's an elderly black man that's now defending me and saying, back off, don't do this.
Yeah, it kind of ruins their whole narrative there.
Yeah, precisely. And he's telling him, he said, no, I know this guy. He's not any of these things. Yeah.
Now, as you're walking off, you're kind of leaving the park, there's one guy in all black and then another guy has a beard. They're kind of holding you by the arm and walking you out. Who are those people?
Okay, so that I'm trying to look at the video on the monitor here. That's security. That's the security who I wasn't entirely sure at the time, but I was later found out that's the from Fox News. That was Kevin Cork's security
okay.
team.
Okay, so that's the Fox News guys who are backing you up. Man, I gotta say, OAN needs to get some security dudes.
We had a phone call about that, and actually, you can see Matt Purdy of Breitbart right there is walking along with his camera. And then that's some of these shots. You can actually see Kevin Cork from Fox, who's sort of behind me. I think he's on his phone, kind of texting about what's going on. And then some of these guys, I later found out, I didn't know, but it's actually some of these guys in black that are walking with us, even behind them, they may look as though they're members of Antifa, but those are actually fellow journalists that dressed up that way so that they wouldn't be targeted.
Cool.
But they were actually there to record the whole thing. That being said, there are also members of Antifa. You can see Luke Kuhn on his bicycle with the cutoff sleeves and the gray shirt out there. You can see, so there's the female again with the hoop earrings and the bicycle helmet.
Yep.
And there's this guy with the red goggles, and he's really the main instigator.
Yeah, that's the epic screenshot, or the capture is you got your jaw clenched. I mean, you got this. Is with the red goggles, that a man or a woman?
I couldn't really tell, you know, through the lenses. It appeared to be a man from the voice, but, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, these Antifa people, you can't tell. A lot of soy boy, a lot of soy eating in that culture. Don't really know. Now, there's this one guy with the ZZ Top beard. It's getting kind of beat up. Who's this guy?
And I actually don't have his, even at this point, I don't have his ID.
Okay.
And I believe he was a fellow journalist. I don't know his background, and I'd love to be able to get in touch with him so I could work to elevate him as well. Maybe get him on One American News. I'm trying to work to get Don Folden on One American News as well, so that we can sort of explain everything that went on that day. But yeah, he came in and said, "Hey, what are you doing? He's already, you know, Jack's already left the park.
Yeah,
you're out of the park. You can go back and." He can walk to his car or do whatever. Why are you still provoking him here out in the street? And at that point, they turn and start attacking him. And then you also see this gentleman with the long white beard, not the younger guy, but the older guy.
Okay.
And he's someone who starts pushing and shoving as well. And they're even going after this guy again. Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you are trying to get away, you're going every which way, and people just come up with and start chest bumping you over and over and over.
Yeah, and you can see it here in the street. And what they're doing is they're trying to provoke me. They're trying to provoke a response in anger, in violence. They're trying to get me to escalate. You see someone grabs my neck here at one point, tries to push me over, and I just sort of turn around and walk away. You know, they're trying to get that clip of me, you know, coiling up and taking a swing or pushing someone down. And then that becomes you know, the narrative that becomes the narrative is Posobiec attacks, you know, protester in Washington, D.C., even though, as we can all see on the video, I'm just trying to.
You're just every which way trying to get out. Now, why weren't the police actually at the park? That's a big question everybody says. Hey, where the heck are the police at all of these events?
So there's actually a jurisdictional issue, at least with this park, because that park is federal territory. So the area around the statue itself would be under U.S. Park Police, whereas this happens all over the city of Washington, where federal government has territory and then there's city territory. So the minute that I leave the park itself, and there you see the police coming up. So these are local Metro Police that actually come up. They came up in this van from behind. And I guess they saw what was going on. They came up and then escorted me out. But their jurisdiction ends where the park begins. And when the whole altercation took place, even the park police only had a couple of guys there because this thing spun up very quickly. And then, you know, their assessment as well as mine going into this was that this was not going to become a violent event, at least until after darkness. That's usually right. When we see this stuff kick off. And so it really caught all of us by surprise that Antifa decided to spring in such a way where, you know, I mean, it's broad daylight. Many of them are wearing identifiable materials. You can certainly hear their voices. And so I did later in the evening file a full report with U.S. Park Police. And I can't comment as the investigation is ongoing, but just to say that we've been watching these videos quite a few many times over the past week or so.
Yeah. Now you see the Antifa people, they just, once you're kind of out of the way, they start going after the cops. They're screaming at the cops, they're pushing on the cops. I mean, this is completely out of control. And I want to know, why aren't these people arrested? If a cop pulled me over and I started doing that to a cop, I'd be cuffed up.
Right, so they're out there, and I don't know what kind of rules of engagement the police are operating under, but you can really tell from this video that even when I'm gone, they continue to attack reporters. They go after the police. You can see it doesn't really have anything to do with me specifically. It has everything to do with them, with their political agenda. And you know, as my dad used to say, they came out looking for a fight. And when they found people, namely myself, to target, that is who they went after.
So I noticed on Twitter you were talking about praying the St. Michael prayer. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, prayer to St. Michael is something that I learned growing up in Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And at one point we started saying it after every prayer in the Archdiocese there, or excuse me, after every Mass, at the end, really at the close of Mass. And that's something that even when I was in the military, it always gave me great strength, especially in those moments when you're on deployment and you're starting to feel homesick. You're starting to feel, what am I doing here? You know, is it worth it? Those moments where, you know, just emotionally and physically, you get spiritually, you get low, and that happens. You know, we're all human, and so the prayer to St. Michael has always been to me a source of inspiration. I think it is a very powerful prayer invoking Michael the Archangel. And it honestly, I've never really done that before in my life. To just over and over in my mind, start reciting it. But you know, the first thing I thought was that, you know what, I've got a little 2-year-old son, and someday he's going to watch this video, and he's going to see how his father reacted, and he's going to want to know what happened. And I just want to set that good example, is to say, son. Yeah. You don't have to solve every problem with violence. You don't have to solve every problem with fists. And, you know, there's a time and a place to defend yourself, absolutely. But we are Catholics. We invoke our prayer. We are stoic, right? We are prayerful. And unless something rises to that occasion, we put our faith in the saints. We put our faith in the archangels, in this case, the archangel. And, I really do believe that's what got me through that.
Yeah. And I mean, the St. Michael prayer is so helpful and powerful, because I can't really think of any other short prayer that we learn as Catholics that so contrasts good and evil. I mean, we're talking about St. Michael versus the devil.
Well, that's exactly right. And when you hear, you know, that line, I guess part of me was thinking, you know, that line about Satan and all evil spirits, right? Yes. All the spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls, right?
Yes.
This is them. This is those evil spirits, or evil spirits are working on them and pushing them to pursue this activity. And that's who I'm up against right now. Remember who you are. Remember your place in the world. Remember your place in the spiritual world, and understand the greater battle that's going on right now. Because if I give in and start, you know, just start wailing on people, then what does that do to me?
Yeah. Now, the St. Michael prayer is interesting, and you just touched on it a moment there. I think people are starting to wake up since COVID and then since the riots. People are starting to realize this isn't just politics. It's not just Republicans versus Democrats. There is something preternatural. There's something evil. There's something spiritual going on. That this is not just political mobs. This is diabolical. And obviously, if you're praying the St. Michael prayer, this has happened, you get that. But I mean, do you think, you work in this industry, do you think more and more people are getting spiritually woke?
Oh, I absolutely do. You know, when I go out to events, and we've started ramping those up again. I was just at the President's Rally in Tulsa here. And when I go out to this stuff, or when I talk to people online, you know, I've got a pretty pretty sizable following on social media, and I get messages every day that say, I'm concerned for my country. I'm concerned for my family. I'm concerned for my safety. And it's in those moments, you know, there's a saying in the military, there's no atheists in a foxhole. And it's in those moments when you are faced with grave danger, when you are faced with serious risk, that so many people turn to God. It galvanizes their faith. It takes those people who may have been sort of the cafeteria Catholics or the lapsed Catholics, and it turns them back into remembering the true faith of their Catholicism, this institution that has been together 2,000 plus years, and what that means not only for Western civilization, but what that means for us in this very day and age, because we are being put to the test.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to... I've seen more and more people start to shift. You know, it seems like 10 years ago, everybody was talking about Western civilization, the great Western tradition. But I'm hearing more and more people now talk about Christianity and even Catholicism. They're realizing that it's not necessarily geographic, being in the West, but it's actually a whole culture built on faith in Christ, the tradition that we receive, you know, in Christianity. Do you think that's going to grow? I mean, it's kind of a pessimistic moment. It seems like we're losing, but at the same time, people are waking up to that reality.
No, I think that's right, and I agree with you that it's not a geographic necessarily notion. That's just sort of the way we refer to it because of where the tradition grew, where the tradition came from in the world. And this is something where, because of that awakening, people are going back and realizing that the growth of postmodern nihilism, the secularism, which is essentially just crushing atheism, that has become so widespread in modern society, has been eating away at the foundations of our institutions. And so there's a moral decay and a spiritual decay that's going on. And people are waking up to the fact that, you know what, in these past few generations where it's been all about personal progress, technological progress, financial progress, people getting richer, some people getting poorer, and realizing that we seem to have lost our way somewhere along the line and lost something, that spark of community, that spark of familiarity with life. And people talk about what we've lost, but there's, you know, there's sort of a this weird, you know, taboo about just saying we used to be a Christian nation.
Yeah.
Right. And realizing that has been the great change in society. And for those people that come to that point, that look at American history, that look at world history, that understand that, and then turn it around. And so for us as Christians, as Catholics, to say, hey, you know what? We've always been here. and we will welcome you back with open arms. This isn't a, you know, you know, a tit for tat kind of thing where, oh, you went away. It's no, it's the prodigal son, right? It's, yeah. It's, you celebrate the return. And that is what's responsible for, I believe, the resurgence. And people said it's a great awakening. I think it's actually the great reawakening that's going on in the world.
Yeah, I mean, if you are an alien who came down from space and studied Earth history, you would see that it was the Christians who created the universities, the orphanages, the hospitals. What was the movement that ended and abolished slavery on planet Earth? It was Christians. It wasn't atheists. It wasn't Muslims. It wasn't even Jewish people. It was the Christians who accomplished this. So the good, the greatness, even the science we have emerges from within this Christian culture. I think we just need to be shouting that from the housetops. People need to be, we need to be not proudful in an evil way, but we need to be proud that this, and it's not our own merit, but the message of Jesus Christ created a culture that from within that fertile ground, good things grew.
Well, it's really amazing because it is Christianity from which in the course of human history, we derive the idea that equality is a virtue and that equality can exist. Prior to Christ, you were rich or you were poor, you were high, you were low, you were tall, you were skinny, or excuse me, tall, short, skinny, fat. You had your station in life, and that was your station, and your family had their station, and that was their lot in life. And obviously we still have that, but it was Christ who came along and said, you are all sons and daughters of God. And completely changed the entire paradigm and said, yes, okay, in your earthly life, you have disparity, you have inequality, and that will always be there. The poor will always be with you. But in your spiritual life, you're all equal. That whole, even philosophical doctrine stems from the teachings of Christ.
And even, I mean, if you went back to ancient Rome and said, this baby who was cast aside on the road, you know, they had infanticide in the Roman Empire, has the same dignity as the Emperor of Rome, which is a Christian teaching. All humans in the image of God have the same dignity. That the baby about to die in the countryside, who's been cast away by his parents, and the Roman Emperor had the same dignity. Christianity teaches that. Islam does not teach that, by the way.
Yeah, other traditions don't have the same type of idea, and it's a truly radical idea, especially when you look at the 10,000 years of human history. It's incredibly radical, and it's something that's actually changed the world in ways that I don't think anyone ever intended. You know, and to take it back into the modern time, you know, we talk about St. Louis. Well, he's the namesake of the city of St. Louis, and it's his statue right there in downtown St. Louis that Catholics are standing up to protect. Of course, this was a reference to the French explorers going up the Mississippi. They named the settlement after the king. He attained sainthood his work 800 years ago, really founding the idea of charity. Right? Charity wasn't this widespread thought. It wasn't, you know, alms for the poor wasn't something that was conducted at a national level, but that's something that he did. And so for people to come down today and say, well, tear down that statue because he wasn't perfect, because he was was an imperfect man. Let's show me a statue of a man and I'll show you an imperfect man, right? This is someone who popularized, expanded, and actually gave us the idea of modern charity at a federal sovereign level. That's the history of St. Louis. That's why he received his canonization. And so they're trying to turn back things. And just as I saw in Washington, D.C. with the Statue of Lincoln, they're trying to tear down parts of history that were actually milestones on our march through history that I don't think they really understand what they're doing.
Or do they? I mean, it seems to me that, well, they've received a horrible education. But, you know, Archbishop Vigano wrote President Trump and talked about that Freemasonic adage, solve et coagula, dissolve and recongeal. seems to me they just want to tear down any landmark, even if it's Lincoln, who wants to who freed the slaves. Anything from the past needs to be completely dissolved and destroyed. They are going to create a brave new world. That's what they think.
Well, the Bolsheviks had a saying that the goal of the revolution is the revolution. And what does that mean? That means their goal is, this is essentially what we call a cultural revolution. And people have heard about the Chinese Cultural Revolution, but we saw the Reign of Terror with Robespierre in France, the Bolshevik Revolution in Tsarist Russia, which led to the Maoist Revolution in, at that time, post-imperial China, and then all the way down to the Khmer Rouge in the killing fields of Cambodia and Pol Pot. All of these revolutions are cultural because their goal is to overthrow history itself. And the Cambodians had a term for this, and the French had a term for this. They called year zero. And year zero means that all prior history must be erased. Every statue must be torn down. Every adage of history must be destroyed. Every piece of wisdom that you thought you knew must be overturned. So that to the next generation, there's a reason they target the children in this, because they erase history, replace it with a lie. Oh, my!
You went black. You're gone.
I've got this motion light.
There you go. You're very light. Green. You're saving money on electricity. It's good.
Thank you. Yes. We care about the environment. So with the replacement. So going back, they erase history. Yeah. They replace it with a lie. And this is key, though. And then they teach the next generation the lie. So that to them, growing up, they have no idea what true history is. I spent 2 years living in China before I joined the military. And one thing that I used to do is I would show people that famous picture of Tank Man, Tiananmen Square, June 4th, 1989, that picture that went around the world that actually presaged the fall of international communism, right? That was one of the first uprisings that we saw. And so I would show them that picture, cover of Time Magazine, you know, internationally renowned picture, and they would say, "What is this? Is this Photoshop? Is this, you know, did right. you make this? What's going on? What's going on here? I don't understand." And if you go onto, you know, Google in China, you search Tiananmen Square, picture can't be found.
Yeah.
It's completely missing. All you see are, you know, the Gate of Heavenly Peace, Mao's portrait, maybe the founding of the People's Republic in 1949, but that picture that I think that everybody else in the world would associate with Tiananmen Square does not exist. And to them, it never happened. So imagine if you take that kind of revolutionary fervor and that ability to control information and education, that's it. You've got everything at that point.
And this, like you said, even the Google, it's amazing that our American corporations go along with China when it comes to film, searching, all these things. The control of information, they conform to China. Why is that?
Well, because to them, China is the most populous country in the world, and therefore the most accessible market. You can sell more phones there. You can get more users for your search network. You can, at some point, there's this mercantilist idea that, well, they're the largest market, so I want to market to all of them. This has always been the fallacy of Westerners looking at China, because it never quite seems to work out. This was all tried in the 1800s, the Opium Wars, and it led to war after war, the Boxer Rebellion, and Boxer Rebellion in China was also targeted Christians, by the way. They viewed Christianity as a foreign religion. And every time they seem to think that, well, if we just go along with China, then we can sell all of our wares to them. And they don't realize that it works the other way around, where China imposes their values on companies.
Yep. Amazing. So what do you think is next? I mean, we're moving into the election in November. You're covering this every day. It feels like we were just going great. Trump was going to be reelected. We're going to make some big wins in the Supreme Court with pro-life. We're all deflated right now.
Well, I think what's going to happen next is that there's going to be a reset, I think, at the national level. And I've I have spoken to members of the campaign and people in the White House about this, and they understand that the conversation has changed. It's not exactly just sort of a contest between two rival politicians vying for an office at this point. There is a national conversation about where do we go as a country? Do we want to continue this experiment that we started in 1776, and then later with the signing of the Constitution there in Independence Hall in Philadelphia, my hometown? Do we want to continue this republic, or do we want to decide, cast that all that work aside, and instead put the political agendas of the postmodern age ahead of that, and said, pick and choose which laws apply to which groups and which laws apply to other groups? That is the fundamental issue at stake here when it comes to the actual rule of law itself, because if you don't have rule of law, well, then you don't have sovereignty. You don't have a country. You just have people that are wielding power against each other. This is what we would see in feudal Europe. This is dukes and earls and lords and manors and that sort of thing. And so I do believe that in the United States that there are going to be enough people, and it's not necessarily a Republican-Democrat thing, and I don't want to make this partisan, but I do believe that there's a lot of people who look at that scene that I saw there in Lincoln Park and say, I don't think tearing down a statue of Abraham Lincoln is the answer. I don't think that burning American flags is the end. We may have issues, as Johnny Cash used to say, yeah, it is a ragged old flag, but I'm mighty proud of it. Yeah. So we've got the 4th of July coming up in just a couple of days here, and I think that's a day where you'd think people would put down the hashtags and put down the memes and the activism and just come together and say, you know what? At the end of the day, we're all Americans. And I think you're going to find a critical mass of those people. It's sort of a cliche at this point to say it, but they're the silent majority, right? They're the silent majority that's becoming galvanized by the images that they see on the screens, the images that they see on their phones, on social media. They don't like what they're seeing in their cities, and they are going to vote for someone to stop it.
Yeah. Great point. 4th of July is coming up. Everybody watching, what do we got live here? 2,200. Y'all all better have at least one American flag up in front of your house. And all you Catholics need to put up more statues everywhere. If you own a ranch or property by a highway, put up a cross. And if you got a front yard, put up a statue of Our Lady. Put up a crucifix. We got to take up space. They want to tear things down. We got to put things up.
So I'm Polish by way of background. We've been back to visit a few times. My wife just across the river in Belarus, but which used to be East Poland before the war. And so in every village in rural Poland, as you drive through, and there aren't really highways out there, once it's Krakow and Warsaw and then villages. But as you drive through, each town will have a statue to one of the saints. Right as you drive into town, one of the saints or of Mary. Right as you get to the town, and everyone in that town will donate money. And these are small towns. These are people who are, farmers, villagers. They're not rich areas, but they will all donate to that. They'll all upkeep it. They'll all make sure that it's looking pristine, that it's big. And, there might be a little bit of jostling who's got the better, one town to town going back and forth, but it's a big part of their cultural life. That everyone works together to have that at every single village that you come to. So it's to them, they don't have this sort of, we call it the separation church and state, but I would say they have a connection between their spiritual life and their community life in a way that it's completely inseparable.
Yeah. We Catholics, Pius IX condemned separation of church and state. If you're Catholic, you can't believe that. We believe in integration. There's a distinction. But they need to be integrated, just like I'm a citizen and I'm a Catholic. I can't rip those two things apart in my soul. They're integrated.
No, that's exactly right. And so it's being in Poland and going around, especially in, so my family's from, we're about 45 minutes from Krakow. And you walk around that city, and every time you turn around, there's another Catholic church, or there's a shrine, or there's something that's up, and it's just part of the city, it's part of the life, it's part of the history, and you're looking at an area that you know, was wiped off the map for 120 years. My family fled World War I, came to America, but it was at the end of World War I that finally Poland came back, and it was only through preservation of their language, of the Catholic faith, and preservation of their culture and heritage that Poland was able to survive not only that 120 years, but then they had about relative 20 years of peace, followed by World War II, the second partition of Poland by Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia. The Soviets then take over Poland, essentially all of Warsaw, up until the 1990s. And so you've got a communist regime that's now in charge. And so when you go to Poland now, that's only effectively had this type of freedom for 30 years, right? This is something that it's not some far off, you know, back in history when you're talking about persecution. It's something that every single one of them remembers. And so when they pray and when they have their faith and when they remain fervent, it's because of that fervor that for over 200 years and going back even more to the founding of the first conversion Polish king, that it's been Catholicism that's brought Poland through all of that suffering and all of that oppression.
Yep. I say it to my kids all the time, you want to go to college or I'll just pay for you to go to Poland for a couple years, find a spouse, beautiful people, Catholic people, devout, good, love Poland. Kind of wish I was Polish. I don't have any Polish blood in me.
You know what Tanya says? So my wife says, we have that conversation, and she actually said to me the other day, so what if we send him to college in Poland?
There you go.
I said, that's a point. That is a point.
We need to find a really solid Catholic university. Actually, there's Polish people here on the live chat. Tell, where should we send our kids, we Americans, to Poland to educate our kids in a Catholic school? Let us know. We want to know that.
Do they have to know Polish? Do they have any English curriculum?
Yeah, no problem. They can learn it. It's worth it. All right, last question here. We are seeing not only attacks on George Washington and Lincoln and Roosevelt, there's been the attacks on the statues of Padre Junipero Serra, St. Louis. This is, like we've been talking the whole show, moving from the political into the spiritual. It's clear that these people want to destroy Catholic identity. As a Catholic, can you comment on that?
Well, I'd simply say that this, Christ told us it would be like this. He said from the start, he said, when you go out there in my name, when you go out there as a believer, when you go out there holding up your Bible, holding up my teachings, that the world will turn against you. And sometimes the world's treating us pretty nice and the world's treating us fairly. And for a long time, I think certainly in this country, we haven't seen that type of religious persecution. That's changed. And it's only going to go away when we decide that it's enough, that enough is enough. It's only going to go away when we decide enough is enough. It's going to be people standing up for their faith, standing up for the true Catholic doctrine, and understanding that we are not going to go anywhere. We're not going to kneel down to this world. We're not going to kneel down to you and your political agendas. We kneel to God the Father in Mass. That is when a Catholic kneels, and at no other time.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Well, tomorrow is the Saints' Day. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Maybe one other time, and that's when you're proposing for you guys out there.
Yep. Tomorrow is the Saints' Day of Junipero Serra.
Wow.
And I'm doing a show. I want everybody to show up tomorrow at 11 Central. We're going to talk about the history and the legacy and how to defend the legacy of Junipero Serra, because everybody's saying he was a slaveholder, he was a racist, he was a rapist, all this baloney. Tomorrow, we're setting the record straight. We're going to talk about the real, historical Junipero Serra. We are proud of him. He's the apostle of California, and we are going to defend him and defend his statues. So tomorrow's the day.
Can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Okay, so Jack, before we wrap up, tell us about OAN. What's going on?
Yeah, make sure you want to follow us. Go to OANN.com. Of course, we have lots of T-shirts for sale. That was been in the news lately, if any of you guys have seen that that news cycle. And we're the fastest-growing cable network in America right now. We're available all over the place. So if you go to our website, OneAmericanNewsNetwork.com, You'll see everywhere that you can find us. We're also available over the internet for you folks who have cut the cord, you cord cutters out there. We're on Roku. We've actually been blowing up on Roku. We're also available Facebook Live. You can catch us 24/7 for just a couple of bucks a month. And we've also got an Encore channel where if you miss any of our specials or our live programming, I'm working on an Antifa special right now. I did a China special not too long ago. That you can pick those up on our Encore programming that runs throughout the day. So we've actually got two channels up. It's really amazing. So just go to OANN.com. You can find all the ways to get access to our information, to our products, and everything that's going out.
Awesome. Awesome. I like being on there. I watch it. My my neighbor, she watches it. What's that?
Well, I'll have to get you back on, maybe.
Yeah, we got to come back on. My neighbor was watching it, and she's like, I saw you on the other day. I was like, yeah. Jack and I know each other. Buddies. We're buddies. So, well, Jack, thanks so much for being on. I'm sorry that this happened to you. I mean, I'm sure your wife was horrified.
Before I got home, I stopped in and I picked up a bouquet of flowers and a box of chocolate truffles. I handed it to her and said, sweetheart, I'm sorry, but don't worry because I've already finished the police report, which is, you know, when you come home late on a Friday night, that's, you know,
yeah.
what
yeah.
you want to do.
Good for you. Good for you. So everybody follow Jack on Twitter. You can see his Twitter handle there in the screen, top right hand. It's OANN.com, correct? Two N's. And thanks for everybody for watching. Please like the show. Hit that thumbs up. Please share it. Hit the share button. It's right next to the like, so do that while you're there. And please subscribe. I appreciate that. And then yesterday I sent out a ton. I think it was like 78 books to all the new patrons on patreon.com at /DrTaylorMarshall. So those will be coming in the mail to all you guys who are supporting the show. And I want everybody to pray and support Jack as well. And there's also an OANN YouTube channel. So go ahead and subscribe to that as well. And I'm going to close this up today. Usually we end in the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria in Latin. I'm going to mix it up because you were talking about the St. Michael prayer. Do the St. Michael prayer. And I'm going to do that in Latin. I'll put it on the screen for everyone. And then we'll close up. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Archangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitium et insidious diaboli esto presidium, imperit ili Deus supplices deprecamur, tuque princeps militiae celestis, satanam aliosque spiritus malignus, qui ad perditionem animarum pervagantur in mundo, divina virtute in infernum derude. Amen. And dear God, please protect all the warriors and people who are defending the truth, and we ask that you would restore our church and restore our nation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, well, that's a wrap, everybody. Everybody pray the rosary every day. The rosary is the weapon. If you don't pray the rosary, you are not on the team. There it is. Look, he's got it right there. Pray the rosary. This is what we do as Catholics. We pray the rosary. That is more powerful than anything you could do at these rallies. Pray the rosary every single day. Special thanks to Jack for being on today. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Jack, thanks for being on.
Thanks, sir.
All right. God bless everyone. See you tomorrow.